السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وذو ظاهر الإثم وباطنه، وقال تعالى: وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: اللهم إني أسألك الصحة والعفة والأمانة وحسن الخلق والرضا بالقدر، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام، most respected elders and brothers, our sisters who are listening. Narrated by Hazrat Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi has recorded it in his Adab al-Mufrad, a beautiful dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in itself, it is a miracle, and its nature is such that it is miraculous, and there are many, many lessons that we can derive from this. We should therefore make it a point that firstly we should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It should be part and parcel of our daily ma'amool and our daily practices, that we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we make dua. Allah ta'ala loves that individual who makes dua to him. Allah ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. In this verse of the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala encourages the servants to make dua to him. And then Allah Ta'ala says that indeed that person who is arrogant and proud to turn towards me in dua, the gist of the ayah, he will enter the fire of Jahannam. May Allah protect us. So dua is something that we should constantly make. It should be part and parcel of our lives. In one beautiful hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, الدعاء مخ العبادة. That dua is the essence of ibadah. Muhaddithin have explained, and amongst the commentaries and explanations that have been given, that we find that in ibadah, there is the quality of abdiyat, where the person, for example, we have come for salah, and when we make salah, we are humbling ourselves, we are adopting the quality of abdiyat, servitude before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person raises his hands, stands before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, places his head in sajda. He humbles himself. It creates within himself humility. And we find similarly in dua, there is this quality of humility, that the person is begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the conditions of the dua being accepted is that the person must be humble. It is like the example of a beggar who comes to you and very arrogantly asks for assistance. So generally that kind of a beggar will be turned away if not chased away. That you are asking for help, but you are so arrogant, move from here and don't even ask for help. The person who is arrogant and asking, he is generally deprived. We are bandas before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are absolute beggars before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence when a person is making dua, that quality of humility, that quality of begging, should be dominant within his dua. Our Hazrat Mawlana Patel Sahib Nawarallahu Marqadahu used to say in his dua, O Allah, we are raising our begging bowls before you. We are raising our begging bowls before you. So in this already, in these phrases, one can understand that just like how a beggar pleads for assistance and help, in the same way, when we are making dua, we need to be pleading to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to be begging before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Zashab, Rahul Aqsa, Ibn Nawar Allah Murqada, we said, I saw one person making dua, and whilst making dua, he was cleaning his nails. So he was cleaning his nails and making dua. So he says, the question is that the etiquette of dua? So when a person is pleading before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there should be that level of devotion, there should be that level of humility, where the person is humbling himself. In fact, there is a incident mentioned of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jailani rahmatullah alayh. That one occasion a person came to him and says, you need to tell me what is that Ismul A'zam. Ismul A'zam is referred to as that special name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when a person uses that name and makes dua, then his duas are accepted. So he says, okay, I will take you, I will show you. So he says that, do you know how to swim? He says, no, I do not know how to swim. He says, let me take you to the ocean. So you hold my hand. So he's holding his hand and he's taking him into the waters of the ocean. But he's holding his hand firmly. And he's wading deeper and deeper into those waters of the ocean. And then suddenly he lets go of this person's hand. And now the current is pulling this person inside. And now due to the force of the current, this person is going underwater. And he's picking up his head and he's saying, help me. So the Shaykh left him, didn't do anything. Again this person went underwater. And now he raised his hand and now that call of help was much more intense. But again he abandoned him, ignored him. Then finally this person went down under for a period of time. And then when he suddenly came up, he thought, now this is it. I'm most probably going to die. So with every energy that he had, as if he's pleading for his life, now he screamed out for help. Immediately the Shaykh grabbed his hand. He said, you see how you called out for help from the deepest recess of your heart. He said, that is Ismul A'zam. That when a person turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when the person calls to Allah ta'ala from the deepest recess of his heart, as if he's pleading for his utter life before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is at that time that generally the dua is accepted. And our late Mu'ayyin Nusab rahmatullah used to say that sometimes when a person makes dua and reaches those maqamat, may Allah ta'ala grant us those kayfiyat in his dua, then it's as if the person actually feels, as if he feels, it doesn't mean it happens, he feels as if Allah ta'ala is saying to him that, oh my banda, oh my servant, enough, don't cry now, enough. You don't need to cry any longer. I've heard you. I've accepted you. Your dua will be accepted. So that is one of the conditions of dua, respected elders and brothers, that we should be sincere in our dua. We should make that dua from the deepest recess of our hearts. Another condition, respected elders and brothers, when we make in dua, we should have firm conviction that inshallah Allah Ta'ala will accept our dua. If a person says, no, why must Allah Ta'ala accept my dua? I'm extremely sinful. Main to gunahgar hu, siyakar hu, sab kuch hu. I am absolutely filthy. I am nothing. My du'as won't be accepted. Rather, you make du'a for me. So then, respected Allah's brothers, we need to remind ourselves that even the du'a of shaitan was accepted. When shaitan had violated the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala had instructed him to make sajda to Adam ala nabina alayhi salatu wasalam, and for Abba was stakbara wa kana min al-kafirin, he completely refused. What audacity he had. He rejected the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can we imagine how this angered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But yet he understood. He was a arif of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He recognized the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not like the humankind. That when we get angry, we are overwhelmed by our emotions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always in full control. In that condition, he said, قَالَ رَبِّ أَنْذِرْنِي إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ Oh Allah, grant me life till the day of Qiyamah. Allah accepted his dua. So if Allah ta'ala could have accepted the dua of shaitan, why will Allah not accept our dua? So we should have firm conviction that Allah ta'ala is accepting our dua. Of course, وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ وَعَجُولًا Allah ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif that the nature of man is that we are hasty. We want instant results. We are living in a time where immediate, everything must happen immediately. So in the same way, we want Allah ta'ala to respond to us immediately. But Allah ta'ala's system, وَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا Allah has got a set system. We find that the child is conceived, then a period of 9 months, elapses before the child is born. But then even after the child is born, there is a lengthy period of time before the child is fully developed to be independent and to walk around. We haven't heard of the child, as soon as he's born, participating in the comrades marathon. So there's a gradual process that takes place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does things at a set time. So in the same way, when a person makes dua, we should never expect instant results. We need to be patient. We need to persevere. It is mentioned that Musa ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant his people salvation from Fir'aun. It was only 40 years after that dua was made that Allah ta'ala finally granted salvation. And this was a Nabi of Allah who made dua. Hence, respected elders and brothers, we should have conviction that when we are making dua, our duas are most certainly and most definitely being accepted. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts it in one of three ways. Either Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us exactly what we are asking for. That youngster is making dua that Allah ta'ala must grant him one super vehicle, super car. So Allah ta'ala makes it such that he gets there. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him something better than that. That perhaps he was not granted that super car, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the tawfiq to start memorizing the Quran Sharif and he became the Hafizul Quran, which is far more valuable than the entire world and what it contains. So Allah gave him something far greater than that supercar that he was making dua for. Or in the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by virtue of that dua, averts some kind of calamity that was about to befall this individual. The person was making dua for something. Allah ta'ala didn't grant it to him. But by virtue of the barakat of that dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala averted some calamity that was about to take place. Perhaps there was some robbery or hijacking that was about to take place. And Allah averted it. I recall clearly one brother came here to our late Maulana Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. He said that the hijackers came, Maulana. He says, Maulana, normally I keep my wallet in the pocket on the side. But for some reason, I don't know why, for some reason I put the wallet on the top pocket. And he says, normally I don't keep coins in my wallet. But for some reason I had some coins in the wallet. And he says, when this hijacker opened fire, he fired straight for my chest. But Allah made it such that that bullet hit the wallet and it hit the coin in the wallet. And Allah Ta'ala protected him. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to avert a calamity, Allah Ta'ala can use one 50-cent coin to protect the person from a bullet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all powerful. And we just do not know, it may be by virtue of that dua that the person made that Allah Ta'ala averts some calamity. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not answer that dua in the world at all. Comes in the riwayah that a person will go into Jannah and he will see the bounties, the embellishments, the beauties of Jannah. And he will inquire, by virtue of what am I receiving these rewards? It will be mentioned to him that on a certain occasion you made a certain dua. Allah Ta'ala did not accept your dua in this world. But this is the outcome of that dua that you made, that Allah has granted you this bounty in Jannah. It is mentioned in the riwayah, this person will make the statement. He will say that, how I wish that none of my du'as were accepted in this world. How I wish that everything was kept for me in the akhirah. Because of course, when a person will see one bounty of Jannah, of the hereafter, he will realize that this world was absolutely nothing. So therefore, we as mu'mineen never ever feel that our du'as are not being accepted. Every du'a is being accepted. Of course, we need to ensure that when we are making du'a, we are not asking for something which is impermissible. The person is making dua for something which is haram. The youngster is making dua that he must, you know, strike a relationship with this particular girl. Ya Allah, assist me and help me. Na'udhu billahi min dalik. This is a dua which is impermissible. Or the person is making dua for some haram business transaction to go through. So these kind of duas are not permissible to make in the first place. And similarly, it is important, and this, respected elders and brothers, requires a discussion in itself. But in this limited time of Jummah, we will try and touch on a little from here and there, that we need to ensure that our earnings are halal. The sustenance that we have nourished our bodies with, it is halal and it is permissible. Now, generally speaking, when a person speaks about halal, so he confines it to the chickens. That is it. Halal, as long as the chickens are halal, that's the main thing. Sometimes the person goes into the casino too. I say the main thing, are these chickens halal or not halal? But going to the casino, that is irrelevant. So we need to understand that haram comes in very various ways. Yes, we need to ensure that that animal is slaughtered in the shar'i halal manner. But the person can read Bismillah upon Bismillah. But yet he has stolen the money. He has stolen the money from someone. He has done somebody down. And then he goes and purchases halal approved animals. And he says, no, I'm eating halal. So yes, the animal itself was halal. But the wealth which was used to purchase that animal was haram. Unfortunately, it is haram. Understand it this way, respected elders and brothers. It's like the example of urine. If that urine or that filth, or whatever filth it may be, if that filth comes anywhere in that process of the water, you are going to find that the water is contaminated in some region or the other. Perhaps the bottle itself is not contaminated, but perhaps the area from which the water is coming is contaminated. Effectively, the water that is coming in the bottle will be contaminated. Sometimes we find that the person is concerned about whether it's got the stamp or not, and he should be. But he's not concerned about the earnings. Is his business being run according to the Sharia? Has he deceived the customer in the process? And sometimes, respected elders and brothers, and this I heard from our late Mawlana Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, that sometimes when it comes to the inheritance masail, that the heirs or the inheritance was supposed to have been distributed according to the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has declared this. Yusikumullahu fi awladikum. Allah speaks in great detail and outlines the manner in which the inheritance needs to be distributed. But we find that it's happening more often than not, that the brothers are usurping the rights of the daughters. Well, Morana, her husband is wealthy enough, she doesn't need the money. So it's fine, I need the money. So the person, to such an extent, respected elders and brothers, that sometimes people are even forging signatures just in order that they can usurp the rights of others. Not realizing that that wealth that they have taken is the right of another individual. It is haram for them to consume that wealth. And that haram wealth gets pumped into their business. And then they feel, now why is this happening in my business? Why is this happening? Why is this robbery taking place? Why is the inquiry here? Why is this supplier giving me this problem? Why are the customers unhappy? But we don't realize it is the earnings which has been acquired in a haram way. So we need to ensure that along this entire chain of our wealth, how we acquire the wealth. Sometimes we are working and we are misusing the trusted amanat that we have. The person has got the company vehicle and he's using it for personal use. This is a different case if the owner has said, listen, I give you the privilege of using the vehicle for your own personal use, then there's no problem in that. But if the person was given that company vehicle specifically to use it for the company, and now he's using it for his own personal needs, then we will say that this too is khiyanat. This is abuse of the trust. So respected elders and brothers, the person needs to ensure that his earnings are halal. A hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, رُبَّ أَشْعَثَ أَغْبَرَ يُطِيلُ السَّفَرِ يَمُدُّ يَدَيْهِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ يَقُولُ يَا رَبِّ يَا رَبِّ وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامُ وَمَشْرَبُهُ حَرَامُ وَهُذِيَ بِالْحَرَامِ فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. The gist of the hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is an individual whose condition is very pitiable. His hair is disheveled. His clothing is dirty. He has traveled a long period of time. He raises his hands before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Rab, Ya Rab. He makes dua. But Allah ta'ala says, وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامُ. His food is haram. وَمَشْرَبُهُ حَرَامُ. His drink is haram. وَغُذِيَ بِالْحَرَامُ. He has been nourished by haram. فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, how can this person's dua be accepted? So from this we learn, respected elders and brothers, that we need to ensure that our earnings too are completely permissible and haram, and halal rather. If a person is working, for example, in a bank in which interest is bearing transactions are taking place, then the advice that our late Mawlana Sahib Rahmatullah used to give, he said, don't leave the job immediately. Start searching for another alternative as if you are an unemployed person. Then when you do find the alternative, then immediately move over. Perhaps this person will leave the job there and then his tawakkul, his trust in Allah is not that strong. The person could lose his iman in the process. Nevertheless, respected elders and brothers, coming back to this beautiful dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us to make du'as, and the du'as that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught, these are the best du'as. Sometimes we find many du'as that people are reading. Some of them are not even authentic. And some of them are not even correct. And sometimes the person adds certain things in deen that are not there. Remember, respected elders and brothers, if we stick to that which is deen, we make our lives so much more simple. I recall on one occasion we were walking here in front of the masjid, and one brother, Hazrat, had made salam to him. So this person, out of enthusiasm, mashallah, he did it out of love and enthusiasm. So Hazrat said, assalamu alaikum. So the person replied, wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa maghfiratuhu wa ridwanuhu. And he continued with the du'as. So our late Maulana Sahib rahmatullah, he said that, see brother, alhamdulillah, you have made the salam, but you stop it, wa barakatuhu. Going further, now that is adding certain things in deen. And he said, now imagine if you're going to add this in deen, now if the person greeted with 10 du'as, now Allah Ta'ala says you must better that. Now the person is replying with 20. 15 minutes will just go in making salam to each other. So indeed, if we stick to that which has been ordained upon us, we will make our lives so easy and so simple. For example, respected elders and brothers, a simple thing on this point. That for example, when we're inviting each other for a dawat, for a meal at home, then it doesn't have to be a 7-course meal. I recall on one occasion, Hazrat Maulana invited us home, a few brothers were here. So he invited the brothers home, it was an informal program. He put down the dastarkhan, he took out some juice, some kajur. He said, this too is a dawat. This too is a dawat. Who says that the dawat has to be that you have to have the starters, the first course, second course, third course, and then the 7 course, and then afterwards you have the tea, and then you have the lawazimat that goes with the tea, you know, the things that have to go with the tea, and then the dessert, and then just goes on and on. And half of the food gets wasted. Even that kind of a dawat will be regarded as a dawat. Simple. And by us keeping the dawat simple, we create ease in the community. Now it doesn't become difficult to invite a person home. Otherwise that person who sticks to formalities, that we have to have the tablecloth, and the serviette has to match the tablecloth, and the cutlery has to be of a certain standard, and there has to be a bouquet of flowers on the table. Now if he wants to invite someone, he first has to go to that 65 points on his checklist before he can invite a person. But that person who keeps simplicity in his life, it becomes so easy for him. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that simplicity. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الْبَذَادَةَ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. That simplicity is a trait of iman. May Allah ta'ala bless us and strengthen our iman. The dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which we'll touch on in the limited time that we have. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes a beautiful dua. Allahumma inni as'aluka siha. This dua is narrated by Hazrat Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As radiyallahu anhu, in which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, oh Allah, grant me good health. Whilst entering the masjid, one brother's condition, his health is not good. And there are many individuals of this nature. May Allah Ta'ala grant us all good health. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us to make this dua. That Allah grant me good health. Grant me good health. Because a person who has good health, it becomes easy for him to practice on deen. It becomes easy for him to fulfill the commands of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. However, the muhaddithin have explained that good health is not only referring to this physical health. It also transcends and extends to our spiritual health. It transcends to our spiritual health as well. The person who has got spiritual health in his life, and then we find that this person it will become easy for him to be obedient to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that person who is spiritually sick, sometimes you say, the person has committed a vile act. He has done something, committed a major crime. And we hear people saying, this man is sick. What does it mean? It doesn't mean he's medically sick. It means he's spiritually sick. That his heart is spiritually diseased. So, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us to make this dua that Allah grant me not only physical health, but spiritual health. Arif Billah Azad Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi on this particular point. He said that Allah Ta'ala put this in my heart. That Ya Allah, don't only grant me spiritual health. He says, Ya Allah, grant me ataya sihat, baqaya sihat, or irtiqaya sihat. Which means that Allah, grant me firstly good health, then Ya Allah maintain my health, and Allah grant me progress in my health. Of course, the physical health as well as the spiritual health. That the person, perhaps his spirituality was at a certain point, but he wants that Ya Allah make it such that my spirituality continues to increase. It is firstly maintained, it is granted, maintained and increased. So when a person is making this dua for good health, he's saying, Ya Allah grant me physical health as well as spiritual health. And then Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, وَالْعِفَّةَ. Muhaddithin explained that each point in this dua, there is a link between each point. That he's saying, Ya Allah, grant me the quality of being chaste, of chastity. And we find that the person generally, when he has good physical health for that matter, now it becomes easy for him also, for example, to commit zina. Now the person is physically strong, he's healthy. Now those desires start increasing within his heart. They become more intense when the person is in good health. That person who's elderly or the person who's bedridden and strapped to the bed. Now he says, "Bhai, I don't look at woman." He says, "Bhai, there's not much strength in your body to even look in the first place." But that person, that youngster, who has got that energy, he's got the vibrance, he's got the go in him, but yet he is remaining chaste, he is lowering his gaze, then this is a sign of being iffah, this is a sign of chaste. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant it to us. So when a person is making dua for good health, he's saying, "Ya Allah, grant me together with good health, grant me chastity." In other words, all the risks that may be associated with that good health, protect me from it. Wal amanata. And Ya Allah, grant me the quality of being trustworthy. We find, respected elders and brothers, that in terms of the spiritual health, Allah Ta'ala speaks about يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah Ta'ala knows the disloyalty of the eyes and that which the heart conceals. So in other words, the person who abuses the eyes which Allah has granted him to cast lustful glances, then Allah has termed this as khiyanat, as the opposite of amanat. Amanat is that you can trust the person, you can rely on this person, he will not abuse that particular excess or that particular privilege that he has been granted. The manager allows, in the example that we had given, gives him a company vehicle. This is a privilege that has been granted to him. He doesn't abuse that privilege. We say that this person is trustworthy. We can trust him with this vehicle. In the same way, Allah Ta'ala has granted us the privilege of sight. Allah has granted us the faculty of hearing. And now if the person uses that hearing to disobey the very commands of the giver of that bounty, we will say that this person is making khiyanat, he is being disloyal, he is abusing that trust which Allah has granted him. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is teaching us to make this dua, that Allah grant me the quality of amanat dari, that I must be trustworthy. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, a time will come, close to Qiyamah, where a person will enter a village. He will ask the question, is there any trustworthy person in this village? It will be said to him that you go to the remote corner of this village, the gist of the hadith, you go to the remote corner of this village, you will find one trustworthy person. How unfortunate it is. May Allah Ta'ala never make it happen to us, respected elders and brothers. We need to keep on taking stock of ourselves. Remember that Allah Ta'ala is watching. And Allah Ta'ala is, all the time, His sight is on our side. فَإِنَّ حَقِيقَةَ الْحَيَاءَ أَنَّ مَوْلَاكَ لَا يَرَاكَ حَيْثُ نَهَاكَ. What is true morality and true modesty rather? It's that the person is concerned and he has this at the back of his mind, أَنَّ مَوْلَاكَ لَا يَرَاكَ حَيْثُ نَهَاكَ, that my Mawla, my Allah must not see me engage in any activity that will displease Him. That Allah who has granted me the faculty of my sight, how then can I abuse this sight for the very giver of that faculty? So Allah, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us to make the dua, اللهم إني أسألك الصحة والعفة والأمانة وحسن الخلق. And, oh Allah, grant me the quality of having good character. Ulama-i Kiram explain, respected elders and brothers, that when a person has spiritual health, then through the barakah of spiritual health, inshallah Allah will grant all these qualities. Hence we find that if a person's character is foul, if the person is abusive, then this is an indication of the weakness of his heart. This is an indication of the spiritual state of his heart. That person whose heart is clean and pure, he has got humility in his heart, he's got generosity in his heart, he's got kindness in his heart, he's got consideration in his heart, he will not cause takleef to another individual. So therefore, the dua that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made, again drawing our attention to the importance of good character, requires a complete bayan in itself. The importance of good akhlaq and good character. And then finally, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah grant me rada bil qada, rada bil qadr, that I must be pleased with your decisions and with destiny, that which Allah Ta'ala has decided for me, that is the best for me. This will avoid a person from going through a stage of depression, of anxiety. Our late Mu'ayyid Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, towards the latter part of his life, when his heart condition had deteriorated, he would constantly recite those couplets of poetry, ke jis haal mein wo rakhte hai us haal ko akmal dekha hai, jis raah se wo tajweez, jis raah ko hum tajweez kare us raah ko asqal dekha hai. The gist of those lines of poetry, that Ya Allah, that route which you take us through, that is the best route for us, and Allah, that route which we choose for ourselves, that always turns out to be the most difficult route. The person resigns his will to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, he adopts the means. But after adopting the means, then he resigns his will to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person opens up the business. He doesn't become a multi-millionaire, but he's able to fulfill the needs of his wife, his family. For him, that condition is best for him. Allah knows that perhaps this person, if he is granted excess wealth, he will become arrogant. He will become proud. He will move further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This person's nature and mizaj is such that he needs to be restricted and confined. Too much freedom for him is harmful. And on the other hand, Allah ta'ala knows that a certain person, for him, freedom is good, because he will still be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah knows his bandas better than anyone else. So therefore we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us these beautiful qualities that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made in this dua. And we will terminate on one beautiful dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which we should include in our lives. That we know Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made many, many duas in his life. 23 years of his nubuwwat. How many duas Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made. He never forgot his ummah. There is one dua, respected elders and brothers, that if we make, we can encompass all 23 years of the duas of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one simple little dua. And we will recite this dua. Many of us even know this dua. But now inshallah, if we read the dua, we read it with a little more feeling and enthusiasm. That Allahumma inni as'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyyuka Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, I am asking of all the goodness, all the khayr that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked in his 23 years of nubuwwat. Oh Allah, you grant it to me. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا اسْتَعَاذَ مِنْهُ نَبِيُّكَ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And oh Allah, I seek refuge from all that which my beloved Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم sought refuge from. وَأَنْتَ الْمُسْتَعَانِ. You are that being whom we seek help from. وَعَلَيْكَ الْبَلَاغُ. And then the person makes this dua. He asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. And similarly, a person makes the duas of the Quran Sharif. So we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us the tawfiq to implement dua in our lives. We should constantly make dua for ourselves, for our children, to such an extent that never make bad duas for our children. That even when our children upset us, or the teacher for that matter, the children make us angry and upset, use that opportunity to make positive duas. One person came to our late Mawlana Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi. He says he had a fight with his son, and at the end of the fight, he cursed his son. That very night, that son was killed in a hijacking in the very driveway. Many incidents of this nature, time does not permit. So Hazrat used to say that at that occasion when you are angry with your son, you, even if you have to say it with emotion, rather say, may Allah give you hidayat. May Allah guide you. That is the moment of maqbooliyat. That is the moment of acceptance. You made a positive dua, inshallah Allah will give the child hidayat. But now the person cursed the child, and then afterwards that very parents are crying, seeing the condition of that child. Therefore, we should use these opportunities and make positive du'as for ourselves and the entire ummah. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.